Question 121. What shall I say? John 12:27. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause came I unto this hour. It is in adversity, troubles, and trials that life teaches us. Rarely, if ever, do we learn from the carefree, safe, or comfortable experiences. I once heard a pastor praying for a group of teens that were going to some foreign field on a mission. He went on and on praying for their safe journey. He asked God to let their trip be without incident, and he covered the gamut from lost luggage to reckless cab drivers. He prayed that their plane would not be delayed, that the weather would be perfect, allowing all things to go according to schedule. He went on and on until perhaps even their toothbrushes were mentioned. If indeed it is true that we learn from adversity, then he very well could have asked the Lord to make sure that these teens go and return and learn nothing at all from their trip. He could have as easily prayed, let their character and faith be as though they never went at all. We should be less eager to avoid problems in our life. We learn and develop when we have our comforts removed for a time. It's pride that causes us to fear this deprivation of comfort, control, and self-reliance. It's because we know deep within us that our lives of righteousness are balanced delicately upon good circumstances. We're not as Job was. We are like the more common man that Satan thought Job was. Satan described the common man's character when he said to God, "Do you think he loves you for no reason? You made a hedge of protection around him, and you bless everything he does. But if you remove all he has, he'll curse you to your face." Maybe secretly, we think this may be true of ourselves. We feel this hedge of protection and fear it's being removed. We fear it being invaded by trouble and testing. But we need not fear if our goal is to move toward perfection. When we pray for God to protect us, are we not admitting our fear that our faith cannot stand testing? Jesus instructed us to pray for God to deliver us from evil. Deliverance from evil is not avoidance of evil. The psalm says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." Jesus, when praying for us, said, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil." His prayer was not that we should be untouched, but his desire was that we would not succumb to or be overtaken by the evil of the world. This is on the same line of thought as, "Lead them not into temptation." This is the temptation to sin James spoke of. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." We must not confuse the trying of our faith with the temptation to sin. We should avoid the temptation to sin and earnestly pray for God to lead us away from it. We're promised an escape from the temptations that are above our ability to resist. But the trial of faith is a different thing altogether. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. This perfection and entirety is what we forfeit when we escape the trials of faith. Jesus, when facing the ultimate trial, when facing his own crucifixion and death, asked, "What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause came I unto this hour." His question was, Why should I seek to avoid the very reason I was born? Some have said that there are three basic questions within all men. They are, where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going when I die? Many mystics, monks, and holy men have spent countless hours contemplating these questions. The Bible offers answers to these and many other questions if one considers the whole story found within. Some have gleaned from the scriptures that we are here to help, feed, and clothe each other. Some say that our main task is to preach the gospel to each other. I contend that good economic times and even slightly motivated persons can accomplish either to some degree. God could feed the world with a stroke of his hand. He's done it before. And angels could come from heaven and preach the everlasting gospel to mankind, thereby forcing him to repent or perish. But there remains a task that God cannot do. It's not a matter of economics or social order. It's a job only you can accomplish while here on earth. A job so important, it is surpassed by none other in priority or consequence. Its weight and solemnity is supported in both the questions, where did I come from, and where am I going when I die? The full realization of which answers in toto the question that plagues all of mankind. Why am I here? It's summed up very well in Matthew 5:48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Don't let this throw you. To achieve perfection is our destiny, and we are to strive to accomplish it here. It will be impossible to accomplish it elsewhere. This perfection is not hard to define. Simply put, it's what you should be that you're not. We must accept problems and the trying of our faith that exercise us as rare opportunities to hone our character. We must press on till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Paul taught Timothy to use the scriptures to this end, that a man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This is our admonition as well. When we encounter trials in life, we must consider them as opportunities to prove that the last failure of faith was not a permanent part of our character. We must seek Christ's word and search the scriptures on matters of life. We must not make it our goal to eliminate all trouble, to avoid every bit of unpleasantness, to sidestep every stumbling block and live behind a supernatural hedge of protection. But we must face it with resolve, assurance, and the armor of God. Shall we say, Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause came we unto this hour, to be perfected, to face trial, to work out our own salvation. No, let us go on unto perfection. When troubles rear their head, brace yourself and thank God for the opportunity to perfect yourself. Trust in God, with or without a hedge. A hedge is no sign that God loves you. Rather, the lack of one shows he trusts you. When we face the awful, the terrifying, the unimaginable, you may be facing the very trial that will perfect you. It may be the hour for which you were born, to emerge perfected. When you face your most feared and dreaded undertaking, pray for strength to endure, Pray for power to hold steadfast to the end. If praying for escape and avoidance of trouble is a temptation for you, then listen to the resolute determination in the words of Jesus. When your only desire is to be what your Father wants you to be, it sounds ridiculous to ask for 12 legions of angels. Why would someone seeking perfection want to escape the hour for which they were born? This comes through loud and clear when Jesus asked, "What shall I say? Save me from this hour?"